At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Friends, family members, and officers yesterday remembered 37-year-old Richardson police officer David Sherrard. He died a week ago after being shot while responding to a disturbance call at an apartment complex. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports on his funeral service.
It didn't matter who spoke. All of them, beginning with Richardson Police Chief Jimmy Spivey, struggled through tears to remember the man who loved God, his wife, kids, and the job. Spivey called Sherrard a true hero.
David made the ultimate sacrifice, and he made that sacrifice coming to the aid of people he'd never met, people he didn't know. It was no accident that David Sherrard was number one in that stack that went into that apartment.
Richardson Police Sergeant Claude Locke says Sherrard was the first in the apartment door because he was a warrior, a selfless leader. That's when he got shot.
Recognizing he was hit and unable to stay in the fight, he conducted his own rescue and moved himself back to cover. By effecting his own rescue, he saved those other guys' lives that were in that room. Had he gone down where he was, they would have done a rescue, and we'd have more officers dead and or wounded.
David and Nicole Sherrard were high school sweethearts who married in 2002. They soon had two girls. Both worked tough schedules, grew apart, almost divorced. She says he deepened his faith and his love for his family, and life at home turned around.
He was an amazing example of what a husband should be to his wife, and I'm grateful our daughters got to witness just how much he loved me so selflessly.
She says he wasn't just a good husband, but her best friend. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Now to breakthroughs, where we cover the latest in health science and technology. Physical pain is often the reason most people seek medical attention. Without pain, we wouldn't know if we were hurt or suffering from an illness. Zachary Campbell is part of a team at the University of Texas at Dallas that's developing a new method to treat pain by fooling the human body. He talked about this with KERA's Justin Martin.
Let's say I burn or cut my hand. What's causing the sensation of pain that I feel?
Sure. So when you have an injury, ultimately the activity of the neurons that's relevant to pain is that they generate signals that are transmitted back via the spinal cord to the brain, which ultimately will process that into some sort of behavioral output. You could imagine this as touching a hot stove and then having a jerk reflex to avoid re-injuring yourself.
Now, your research is focused on fooling the human body with what your team calls RNA mimic molecules. What are those and how do they work?
Let me back up a minute and just remind people about RNA. Yeah. So all of the information, the blueprint that makes you, you, and me, is encoded by DNA. And DNA really becomes interesting after it gives birth to a molecule called RNA. Now, a particular class of RNA called messenger RNA transmits information to the protein synthesis machinery, which is actually compartmentalized within the cell. So you can imagine, in just thinking about that process, that the precise execution of that information is meticulously controlled, and you would be correct. So we know that in the case of, say, pain, protein synthesis has to occur, but we don't really understand what the targets of that event are, nor really how it's regulated. So our goal was to just mimic one feature that's present on the vast majority of RNAs with a synthetic RNA-like molecule in order to sort of decoy the factors that are involved in that regulation. If you'll allow me an analogy, it's a bit like a game of musical chairs where there's 10 people and 10 chairs. So we flood the system with 1,000 decoys to occupy those chairs. And so as a result, the game is fundamentally different.
So are these decoy molecules, they disrupt the processing of pain. Are they inert? Do they just not complete the journey? Or
right. So the way that they actually work, and a major challenge we had to overcome, is RNA in of itself is quite ephemeral. It's turned over rapidly, on the order of hours in our hands.
So it has a half-life that's real quick.
Yeah. So we actually made molecules with the intention of changing that persists for over a week in serum. So it's an order of magnitude more resistance to decay. So what they actually do once they bind to these factors that they're decoying is they lead to a non-productive sequestration. So you've essentially taken these factors out of the equation.
Why didn't anyone think of this before, disrupting the processing of pain? Was this a recent advancement that led to this, or did someone in your team come up with the idea?
A number of years ago, a scientist named John Levine at UCSF had actually showed using drugs that work by blocking the protein synthesis machinery that you could affect pain fixation in rat models. And that was a really elegant breakthrough. But it was extremely broad in that you were broadly disrupting the production of proteins, whereas what we're doing here is interrupting one very specific targeted aspect of protein synthesis. So we're learning a tremendous amount about how that process unfolds in these peripheral neurons. And it's also enabling us to target just a plethora of factors inside of these cells that we're hoping ultimately will lead to better drug targets for pharmaceutical development, as well as potentially new compounds themselves that could be applied in that manner.
You know, I've had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis since I was a kid. This model talks about it also gets rid of inflammation. Obviously, that's tied in with pain. So I'm just thinking how that could apply to numerous ailments that also have to do with inflammation causing problems.
Yes, so the model that we actually use in our pain studies is called a cytokine. And this is something that's produced by the immune system to tell the neurons that there is an injury nearby. And we know that we can blunt the effects of that signaling process by affecting protein synthesis within the neuron. So it's difficult to undersell the importance of the neuroimmune interface. So my wife is actually a rheumatologist, and so I hear about just how difficult it is to live in these conditions with persistent pain states. And it's certainly something that's on my radar and that of many of the pain researchers at UT Dallas.
Zachary Campbell is with the University of Texas at Dallas. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
There's a 20% chance of rain in the forecast today, cloudy skies as well. Best of all, though, a high near 68 this afternoon. Temperatures will only drop down to around 61 overnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies and a high near 77. It's 47 degrees now in Dallas, 49 in Fort Worth, 46 degrees in Wichita Falls and in Tyler.